As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Good morning and welcome to The Daily Ding. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about Steve Kerr taken out of context, and we've got trade rumors. Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Tuesday, everybody. I'm your host, Dave DeFore, joined as I am every Tuesday morning by my man, Trevon Edwards. What's up, Trey?
What's going on, Dave?
Hanging, man. Another late night for me and you. And crashing our party a little bit, we got Marcus Thompson because a little bit of Steve Kerr heat today on the Twitter timeline. What's up, Marcus?
Man, I'm trying to prepare to get that like real kind of Billy D, Barry White thing, Trey be having going on today. Like, hey y'all, how we doing? Like, I can't do it though, man. Like, dude, can you share?
Can you do
a tutorial or something?
Look, I don't think I'll be having a sexy voice, man. I sound a little annoying, but right now,
hey,
I guess
I ain't mentioned nothing about sexy. I don't know where you even got that from. I was just saying low. For the record, I did not say your voice was sexy.
Listen, you said Barry White, so I just associated that with, you know.
Don't be trying to say I said you had a sexy voice. Come on.
Well, all right. Look, let me
you
get us back
a sexy
on
voice, Trey. It is very
let
sexy.
Me get us on track here because we don't have a lot of time. Marcus, little bit of not a scuffle on Twitter, but Kevin Durant kind of raised some eyebrows.
A kerfuffle? Can we call
it a kerfuffle? That's not even, right? Like, this is nothing.
It's kind of a Warriors word. So
yeah. You know. So Steve Kerr was on Logan Murdoch's podcast recently and had a few comments. And I want to play them because I want to play the comments that he had in his press conference tonight about those comments, which were sort of taken out of context on social media. And I thought he did a pretty good job of explaining himself here.
The second thing I wanted to bring up is Raymond alerted me to something. I did a podcast a few nights ago with Logan Murdoch, and I mentioned during the podcast that last season, in which we had the worst record in the league, was more enjoyable from a coaching standpoint than the previous season when we lost in the finals. And the context was basically that after the five-year run that we were on, that fifth year was just an absolute bear. It was the stress level, two season-ending injuries during the finals. DeMarcus also had a serious injury that took him out of the playoffs for 6 weeks. We had all kinds of stress. The whole point of the conversation was the stress of the five-year run compared to coaching a team of young guys that doesn't win many games, but is eager to learn. And I made the comment sort of offhanded that last year was more enjoyable than that previous season.
Okay, now that sounds pretty believable to me, Marcus. I mean, you and Ethan Strauss both reported that these guys last season were actually having a good time because it was the first time they felt like they were coaching, right?
Yeah, life is different when you have, you know, four Hall of Famers on the squad, right? But first, can we start by, like, I'm done with the Rajah Bell shade. Like, Logan Murdoch is my guy. We both from the town, but it's actually Logan and Rajah Bell Shea. Everybody keeps saying Logan's podcast, and mostly just I don't want him to get all this shine like he got his own podcast, but it's Logan and Rajah Bell. Come on, what's with the Rajah Bell shade? All right.
Do you do this to that me, Marcus? Do you do that? Do you like, hey guys, no. Nerder, make
nah,
sure you
it's
mention
just Marcus
Mo.
Being a big homie, bro. You sometimes you gotta put that elbow out.
Absolutely. I mean, there was a definite difference last year, right? These were guys who, for so long, had it just been about managing the stars. And maybe you get to the playoffs and then it becomes about sets. And, you know, the constant conversation was who should the offense run through, all that, right? But, well, I mean, the truth is once the Draymond thing happened, you know, there was just a tension that had needed time to release. But then it just kept being one thing after the other. So you kind of knew what they were talking about. This, none of this is new, by the way. None of this is news breaking. None of this is a revelatory. This is all stuff we already knew. That fifth year was a grind. Like, it was tough. By the end of it, people were hurt. And last year was far more about development and good guys and camaraderie, right? You know, it was a different vibe. They christened Chase Center with a 15-win team, right?
Right.
And they tried hard, and it was like CYO, you know what I'm saying? Like, they were learning the plays, and you could see them, like, developing. You could see their growth, and you could measure it. So, yeah, it was definitely Steve Kerr's into that rah-rah. So he loves that. Like, he's an end-of-the-bench guy who feels good about the 14th guy having his big moment. There's nothing Steve Kerr loves more than when a guy who's on the end of the bench comes in and has a big moment and everybody's like, yeah, we're glad we got this guy, because somehow in his head, he's always that guy.
Well, it explains a lot, right? Trey, I think we know that the real story here is that it's March and people are looking for stuff to talk about. And luckily, Trey, the trade deadline's coming up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in March, obviously, I mean, especially in the Bay, man, it's just always been shaky right now, especially in the past two seasons, to a point of, you know, with Steph and, you know, dealing with Clay and now fans just kind of in an uproar of like fire, hashtag fire Kerr, and just all this other stuff.
Yeah, they're going wild out here.
Yeah, it's just anarchy out that way. So, I mean, I understand, and, you know, guys playing the trade machine and seeing how they can eat. I just honestly don't know what you possibly could do with this team at this particular moment, but maybe, you know, moving forward when the season's over and they can kind of plan that way. But for all
Come
this
on,
unnecessary
Trey,
stuff.
You really don't think they could get a six seed? 3.5 games back with 29 to go. You can't make one move and make it happen?
Yeah. I'm still pushing to bring Aaron Gordon home.
Ooh.
You know, like that's who I'm really rooting for.
You're going to cost too much. You see that 2 first-round picks? You giving up 2 first-round picks for Aaron Gordon?
He's young still, man. I still think that he can do something. He athletic, you know, can spread the floor a little bit. And I think he just gets that boost of like, I'm finally, you know, he did a press conference, like I'm back in the Bay and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, and he has his midi homies showing love and all that. And then he turns up for the city. So I think that would be a good move versus these other options I've been hearing. Like, I'm not crazy about these other options. So he's the most realistic that I'd be like, all right, let Steph get back out there and him and Dre, I'm cool with. You know,
well,
but
Marcus,
all that other stuff, nah.
What are they looking for? Backup point guard, starting shooting guard, center? I mean, every position?
Functional, like can play basketball.
Yes. Can you can run up play? And down the court and chew gum at the same time? Yeah.
I mean, I think they have needs kind of in multiple spots. So it's almost like, you know, to borrow a draft term, best available player, right? It's like, who can you actually get? I think the big thing with them is they're not putting picks in. They're not putting Wiseman in. Unless it's a no-brainer, and when they finish that deal, they're like, okay, we're ready to go compete for a championship, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, what do you have? I mean, they got a disabled player exception, and I don't know. Is anybody interested in Eric Paschal? Can they get something for Kelly Oubre? So it's like little stuff like that. I'm just wondering, man. I've never seen – this is just weird to me to be 3.5 games out of the 5 seed and everybody kind of acted like, eh, this is it. Like, it's just so weird. Like, 3.5 games is not a lot of games. It's like one win streak away. Then you watch the Lakers, you know, right? And they might they might take a nice little tumble. It's just weird that it's like, 3.5 games out of 5? Yeah,
you know what? You know why it's crazy, though? It's just because – it's not the norm. It's not the norm of what we are used to seeing in the past 6 years. So everybody, so it's like it's kind of far fetched, but it's not, you know. And obviously, seeing other teams be quote unquote bad and the Warriors be basically kicked down last year, people enjoy it. So they don't want to see them be good. But quiet is kept. They're right there, like you said. And if they can make a decent move, you know what I mean, that doesn't make it sound too crazy. Like their chances, man.
Marcus, I got a little bit of a bigger picture question for you, which it just occurred to me when you mentioned it, how they're only 3.5 games out of the 5 seed and just the fan expectations have changed so much. I mean, how far removed is this fan base from the one from 10 years ago? The sad sack loser Warriors could never do anything right, and now it's championship or bust. Like, I don't even know. Is that better? I don't know if that's better.
I feel like there's conflicting demographics inside of the Warriors camp, which is what happens when you get as big as them, right? The old Warriors, man, what were they? 18,000 deep, Trey? Like, like it wasn't
if that, you know, yeah, right.
It wasn't like 50 million people, right? It wasn't like,
no,
you know, Warriors jerseys was being worn in San Antonio, but it was like some riders, right, who followed everything. Like, it was a nice contingent of riders that that has grown, right? So, but I do think part of the problem this year and why you see Kerr get some of the shade is because Kerr is a big picture coach, right? He's a big picture thinker. He's thinking, how do we maximize this and get another 5-year run? But some people are like, yo, that title stuff is over. Like, they want to go back to knocking off a team in the first round. They would be perfectly happy if the Warriors went to the playoffs, upset a team, lost in the second round. They would be perfectly happy. And
that's
then they
cool.
could just troll on social media all day, right? Like,
yeah.
There's some people who are like, yo, forget this. We're not going to win a championship, so let's kind of not go for it. A lot of people around here like, yo, you're looking at literally Portland and Denver are tied for the 5 or 6 seed. Like, those teams are, I guess you could say they're better. But how much better? Like, you really feel like you can't catch them? I mean, just that idea alone is kind of weak. You think Dame would be in this situation at 9 looking up at 6 talking about, maybe next year if we make a move. So I do think there's quite a few people who are like, nah, B, you got to go for it right now. Like, there's a shot. And, I mean, who knows? You telling me if they end up playing Utah in the first round as a 7-2, you know what I'm saying? And they upset mm-hmm. Utah, and they lose in the second round. They like that. That's a good year.
that's not bad.
That's a pretty good year. But then there's also a segment who are like, "What are we doing, man? Like, whatever. Let's figure out the trade to get back to championship status." I just do think the Warriors fan base is so big, you kind of get a little bit of everything. And the ones you hear on Twitter are the people who are just tired of hearing they're not that very good. We're not chasing wins, and they kind of want to go for it right now. Every time, like, Steph, 40 minutes, give me the buckets. They want a Steph show. And that's very old school Warriors in that sense.
Well, if you want to read about the change in the fan base, I think that you could follow it through Marcus Thompson's 2 books, Golden, The Miraculous Rise of Steph Curry, and KD, Kevin Durant's Relentless Pursuit to Be the Greatest. Marcus, thanks for coming on the Daily Ding. How'd you like that little plug for you?
I really appreciated that plug. it was marvelous. How did I do, Trey?
Nah, you did excellent.
I feel like I need some music and like a silk shirt.
Just light the candle, man.
Yeah, Andrew, sprinkle a little music in there on top of that. All right, Marcus, we'll go ahead. You
join in the thing.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. you can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Trey, we have a trade. Are you ready? It's a big one. The Clippers have traded Fiondu Cabangeli to Sacramento. Oh,
man.
What do you think, Trey? Huge.
I like it. I like it because it gets them picks, man. That means somebody else is going on the move.
Well, this is the thing. The Clippers were able to open up a roster spot. They also gave themselves a little bit of room underneath the hard cap. And Sacramento, I like this move for Sacramento. It's another bite at the apple, so to speak. You know, they get another young guy on a cheap deal that they get to take a look at. I mean, this is a win-win for everybody. But it feels to me like the Clippers are setting up for a bigger move, opening that roster spot. Trey, I have to start wondering, who are they trying to bring in?
I'm going to say Lonzo Ball as option A, George Hill as option B.
That's not bad. Well, we've got a trade rumor, and maybe it's this guy. Maybe it's Aaron Gordon. According to our own Jared Weiss and Sam Amick, Magic power forward Aaron Gordon has requested a trade from the Orlando Magic, the Boston Celtics, Houston Rockets, Minnesota Timberwolves, Denver Nuggets, and Portland Trailblazers have all expressed interest at this point. Trey, there's a rumor that multiple firsts have already been offered in a package for Aaron Gordon. How would you feel about giving up multiple draft picks for a guy his age? I mean, look, he's not old, and he's got another year after this one left on his contract, and he's on a very affordable deal right now, only $18 million a year. He's having a pretty good season, but how would you feel about giving up that much? I mean, two first-round picks, that's a huge haul just to start, and I'm assuming they're going to also want, you know, a good young player or two included in that package.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, but depends on how much you believe in Aaron Gordon, you know? I think that he has a talent, and he's improved each year. But again, you know, to an extent, how much do you know, like, only time will tell with those type of deals, you know, what the class of the draft and what you can get back and things, and you know, the health of the player that you're going after and where they are. And I think he's still young and he still can, you know, add value to a team. So yeah, I probably would make that move.
Well, we're a little short on time, so we're going to kind of run through the games. De'Aaron Fox leads the way for the Kings, 30 points, 119-105. They beat the Cavs. The Thunder, Trey, we got a little saying here when I do this show with Andrew Schlecht. The Thunder are too good to tank, although they're still pretty bad. They beat the Timberwolves 112-103. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander had 31 in this one. Karl Anthony Towns with 33. The Hornets, no LaMelo Ball. Doesn't matter. They beat the Spurs 197. Trey, you know, LaMelo has made that team at least must-watch TV because he's so special. It's still a pretty good basketball team, even outside of LaMelo, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they would draw plays for Rozier to get him done and get it done at the end. And then, obviously, you know, you got Miles Bridges. You know, he's super athletic. And, you know, Hayward. And you can go down the line with those guys. And if they happen to move Devontae Graham and get something back, you know, I don't want to write them all the way off. I mean, you know, I was reading stuff when the news broke. Oh, the season's over. You know, cancel the season. And it's like, nah. You know, like, there's still some basketball players that's out here hooping. I mean, it's unfortunate that, you know, we lose a young talent like that, but he'll be back and much better. So, but in the meantime, still keep your eye on Charlotte.
Yeah, don't cancel the season, but I'm going to cry every night because there's no LaMelo. The Jazz beat the Bulls 120-95. Rudy Gobert had 21 points, 10 rebounds. Trey, you think Rudy Gobert is on that MVP list somewhere in the top five?
Don't forget the 9 blocks. Absolutely
good
not.
Point. Thank you.
Absolutely not. Listen, I understand it's a lot of injuries, right? I understand how important Rudy Gobert is to the Jazz. Is Rudy Gobert playing exceptional basketball for the Jazz? Absolutely. But Damian Lillard, Nikola Jokic, you know what I mean? Like, these two players alone, then you add in the injured Embiid to the equation. Then you add in James Harden. And then Maybe he gets fifth, sixth. He gets a honorable mention look to be considered an MVP candidate just because of the record and what he does. But still, no, not to be a favorite or put him in a conversation like that. I think Damian Lillard right now and Jokic are sitting comfortable. And then you got James Harden right there in third, which is also causing a controversy because of how.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how
people
how
want to hammer Harden for the start of the season, right?
Yeah, but I mean, but it's about basketball. It's not about anything else. Either you're hooping or you're not. And James Harden's hooping. He's been the most consistent player on this Nets roster.
Speaking of hooping, Ja Morant was hooping tonight, 29 points and a win for the Grizzlies in overtime over the shorthanded Celtics. You know, not too much to take away from that game, I don't think, Trey. The Bucks, I mean, they just dominated the Pacers, 141-113, without Giannis Antetokounmpo. Does this kind of game make you feel better about the Bucks, Trey?
Well, I seen that PJ Tucker had to leave because of an ankle injury, but the way they're clicking and going, like, they're playing pretty well. And I think also Giannis should be in MVP talks as well. I mean, I don't think voter fatigue should not be a thing in any part of the NBA. Like, if you're playing well, then you should be in the mix.
Yeah, like, we need more voter fatigue in real life, less of it in NBA awards. The Clippers come back to beat the Hawks thanks to Kawhi Leonard's 25 points and a ridiculous game from Luke Kennard. I mean, just nuts.
Don't
8 of 8 from the field.
Forget about Terrence Mann.
Well, there you go. Terrence Mann, too. And Trey, look, we got to celebrate something here because we had a big event happen. I don't know if you're aware of this.
No, it's going over my head.
Andrew, I want you to get those fireworks ready, okay? The Houston Rockets have won a basketball game, Trey. They broke their 20-game win streak, 117-99. They beat the Raptors, and now the Raptors are losers. Right? They just got beat by a team that lost 20 straight games. No, I'm just kidding.
Kyle Lowry probably has played his last game as a Raptor.
It would be really sad if that's how it ends. But, you know, congratulations to the Rockets. Congratulations to Steve Silas. I know it feels nice to break that streak. Let's start another one tomorrow. What do you think, Trey?
Yep. I want him to keep winning because Silas deserves it.
Yeah, but also Cade Cunningham's going to be really good. And that's going to do it for today's show, folks. Don't forget about all the other basketball shows across the Athletic Podcast Network. We've got all your favorite shows that you know and love, the Athletic NBA show, the Athletic NFL show, No Dunks, so go and check those out. Make sure you follow the shows you want to listen to in the app so you get notifications when new episodes come out, and leave us comments because we are always checking in there for feedback. If you're not a member of The Athletic, go to theathletic.com/dailyding and sign up now. Thank you guys for waking up with us. Trey, take it away.
Ding, ding.